In the name of Jesus. Some weeks ago, I jokingly said to Professor Ziegler that at times, Germans seem to have a hard time making a proper distinction between Lutheran theology and German culture. To my surprise, he did not argue back with a normal quick wit, but remained silent with a smile on his face, which was even more frightening. That a Japanese is appointed to preach on this day may be helpful for us to recognize that we are gathered here not to celebrate a certain cultural heritage or to treat Dr. Luther with hagiolatry or veneration, but still to hear the words of the Lord, the very voice of the Good Shepherd. Our Lord Jesus speaks in our text, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. How does the kingdom of heaven suffer violence? Through wars, through terrorism, or through teenager boys who are behind the wheels, or who knock on your door wearing Halloween costumes? What kind of force is Jesus talking about? It becomes clear to us when we consider the life of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence as the road of Jesus to Calvary was hindered. Our text comes in the context when John the Baptist had his disciples ask Jesus, "Are you the one? Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus replied by citing Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 61, which belong to the songs of the Ebed Yahweh, suffering servant, with whom the voice from heaven identified Jesus at his baptism, and about whom Jesus himself preached as of himself in his sermon at Nazareth. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence whenever something fell on his Ebed Yahweh's way to Calvary. Satan suggested Jesus in the wilderness to avoid the cross, and his disciple Peter said the same thing before the transfiguration. Even on the cross, a thief and the Pharisees alike mocked Jesus, saying, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." The power of the sword was not able to destroy him. Theology's power was more dangerous. The violence which tried to get Jesus off from the cross is the most destructive and dangerous one. Therefore, there was a reformation. It took place when the forgiveness of sin was sold and purchased with a piece of paper indulgences. It happened when there was a man who sat in the seat of Jesus. And in our day, there are no more indulgences sold and purchased. But consider what Luther once observed in concerning the order of divine service in the congregation of 1523. There he laments that even though both the office of the holy ministry and the divine service had origin in Christ, both had been corrupted and abused by the 16th century. It is often said that whatever popular and most powerful tends to come into the life of the church, that observation may be true. What was most powerful in the time of Luther? The Roman Church was above the state. Christ was considered as a universal lawgiver. The church was executing the law to the nations as Christ's instrument. Under that circumstances, the Reformation was truly a breakthrough. With the Reformation, both the office of the holy ministry and the divine service were restored. But history repeats itself. We find ourselves in the midst of similar problems and confusions in the areas of worship and the pastoral office. The violence which tried to get Jesus off from the cross is still with us as an attractive option in our day. From the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Despite multiple attractive suggestions to do otherwise, Jesus stayed his way to the cross. What our Lord most wanted to do, he did not achieve by force. A helpful baby in the manger, a man beaten and hung on the cross, dying. Here is the opposite of the way of force. Here is the way of the Ebed Yahweh. Only when Christ's priestly job is not complete, and when his sacrifice is not complete, then Christological problems arise. What a joyous privilege we are given today, that we get to thank our Lord because he is a mighty fortress, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need, as he who is this, Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever. We do not need to go on living with our sins as if they were not answered for. Somebody else took our place. Jesus did. He does not force you. As he accomplished our salvation without the use of force, so he distributes the fruits of the cross without the use of the force. Forgiveness and salvation are yours as his gifts. You can no more be destroyed than he can be destroyed. The kingdom ours remaineth. At baptism, his name was put on us with the water. We are his. By his name, he has committed to bring us through in our temptations, in our sorrows, and in our sick bed. Within his kingdom, we live by one little word. What is that one little word? According to a Reformation and Luther scholar, Martin Brecht, the one little word is, in this is my body, this is my blood. Within his kingdom, we get to live by the body and blood of Jesus. That a mighty fortress is sung today by both Roman Catholics and the descendants of Zwingli alike looks strange or even ironic. Our prayer this morning is that our Lord may deliver us from making his kingdom suffer among us and in us by our attempt of bringing Jesus into subjection, of reshaping him, and of replacing him. We are given both one little word and a mighty fortress. He nourishes us with his gifts, but in order to protect us, he uses his almighty power. The unshakable comfort and confidence is yours as the sure promise of the Lord resounds through your ears into your hearts, the kingdom ours remaineth. Amen.